Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Beautiful stuff there, Pastor Mkanda Were. Good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you too?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
Great, great. Glad to have you back today.
Fantastic and great to speak to you once again today.
Amen.
And we're still talking thank about our main subject, cultivating resilience through faith. And today, we want to look at biblical examples of resilience. We touched briefly on this yesterday, in the face of great adversity. But we also want to talk about the very real danger of difficulties and struggle turning us into hardened, unfeeling, bitter, cruel people. Now, how does the concept of resilience, Pastor, align with the principles of our faith?
All right. That's a wonderful question. So to begin with, faith is the element that helps to build resilience because it provides a long-term perspective to the current problems that we are going through. So faith helps us to see our current situations through a long view perspective. And because of that, it grounds our perspective in hope. And then it keeps us from being weighed down by our trials. Mm-hmm. So when we have faith through the times of trial, our resilience is then built because we are grounded in hope and faith all through our time of trial. That is how faith connects, relates with resilience in helping us build it.
Now, thank you so much for that, Pastor. Now, yesterday we started briefly about some of the examples of some people in the scripture who overcame adversity and displayed resilience in adverse circumstances. Mm-hmm. Would you perhaps share some of those examples today?
All right, thank you. So yesterday, I deliberately decided to just use common life examples. Today, let's go back to scripture.
Yeah.
In the Bible, we are told of many, many stories, many people who have overcome through resilience. The story of Job is the best of them all. Not really the best of them all, but the story of Job is a big, big story. Job, a very wealthy man, the Bible says, before calamity struck, the Bible says that he was the greatest in wealth and in righteousness among all the people of the East. And so he was a very wealthy man, very great man. And then when calamity struck, he loses everything he had. And through it all, he stands fast, holds on to his integrity. He builds the resilience. And when he overcomes, God feels pleased to bless the man even more than he had before calamity struck. The Bible also tells us another story of Joseph. So Job, you can learn from that story in the book of Job itself.
Yeah.
The story of Joseph is told in Genesis chapter 37 all the way to chapter 50 of the book of Genesis. Now, Joseph, the Bible tells us, was an upright young man.
Yeah.
Because of his uprightness, he is hated by his brothers and thus sold into slavery at the age of 17 years old. From 17, he suffers adversity as a slave in the house of Potiphar and later on as a prisoner until he turns the age of 30. That is 13 years of resilience. The brother holds on to his dream, and at 30, God comes through for him simply because he did not falter in his faith of the promises God had given to him through his dreams. And then when he is visited by God, he is made prime minister or second in command in a monarch. Now, this is a slave boy. He comes from a foreign country, and he is made second in command in a foreign country. Not just a republic, a monarch. And that is the story of resilience of Joseph. The best story in Scripture about resilience is that of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, yeah.
The Bible says he is sold, he is delivered to his enemies. They beat him. They do whatever they wanted with him to the point of killing him. They took his life. And yet he did not open his mouth in complaint. He gave himself. And when he died to save all humanity because he says himself, I lay my life for the brethren and I have the power to take it back.
Mm.
Because of this, it pleased God to call him back to life. And so, because Jesus resisted the pain of having to go through rejection by the Father, having to go through rejection by human beings, all that the Bible says, when he considered it grieved him to the point that it made him bleed sweat.
Mm, mm.
That's how painful Jesus' experience was. But he allowed it. He was resilient all through it. And he overcame by his death. And that is why we can now call ourselves Christians today, because Jesus overcame, because he was resilient. And because of Jesus' resilience, he inspired his disciples to be just as resilient themselves.
Mm.
The book of Acts tells us of the stories of the different disciples who went through persecution, and yet they managed to hold on to their faith and overcame. And so if we could spend a whole day, we could really just dissect Scripture and find examples of people who resisted, overcame, and stood fast in their resilience and in faith and overcame the power of the evil one. There are several in Scripture, but I fear we don't have the time.
Mm. Beautiful, beautiful stuff. Now, can adversity not also lead to bitterness and resentment? Having gone through all of this, surely by nature we could probably develop some bitterness, some resentment, etc. How are we to safeguard ourselves from becoming hardened by these difficult circumstances?
Thank you very much. That is very true. It is very possible for us to turn bitter instead of better because of adversity. That is why Scripture warns us in advance about our kind of life here on earth.
Mm.
Ours is a life embroidered in battle. We are living soldiers on a daily basis. This is what Scripture says to us in order to warn us and prepare us to live a faithful life because of the kind of life that we are to live here on earth.
Mm.
Mm. I have a few texts. And allow me to please just read all of them.
Okay.
I would be very quick.
That's all right. That's all right.
The first is Revelation chapter 12 and verse 12.
Mm.
The Bible says, "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time." So Scripture warns us, the devil has a short time and he has come down to us. Because of this, he will cause great havoc in this short time that he has. So we are warned. Ours is a life of battle because the devil has come down to us.
Mm.
Now, in line with this, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 and 13 says this to us. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places."
Yeah.
Verse 13 then says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." The Bible tells us the devil has come down to us. And our only weapon is the whole armor of God.
Mm.
And so when we take up the armor of God, it is what prevents us from turning bitter when we face adversity.
Mm-hmm.
So when we have the whole armor of God, we are enabled to withstand the evil day that the devil has come to bring down here on earth.
Mm.
Now, let me end with the last two. Romans chapter 8. Verse 35 to 37, the Bible says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. Mm. So when we take up the armor of God, when we have Christ with us, we are more than conquerors. Instead of being bitter, we become better because Christ is with us. Now let's conclude with this text. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let me begin from verse 7. We'll end at verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 to 10. The Bible says this. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, meaning our bodies, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are persecuted, yet not in despair. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the earthen vessel, in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that this life of Christ may also be manifested in our own body. This is a glorious life Paul is talking about, that of Christ. He says when we die daily, we will be manifesting the body of Christ in us, because God, the whole armor of God, Christ, comes upon us, making us conquerors, more than conquerors, against spiritual forces. And so we don't turn bitter, but better. But if we don't have the whole armor of God, if we don't have Christ, it is very possible for us to then turn bitter in the wake of adversity.
Yeah, very true, very true. Now, lastly, before I let you go, how do we continue to trust God when he seems, rather distant in our trials? I mean, I'm sure when we read the story of, Job, you mentioned the story of Job earlier, and I think he also felt that God was rather distant and maybe uninterested in the things that he was going through. So how do we begin to then continue to trust in God when we feel or see that, no man, he's actually distant?
Ah, nice, beautiful question. Allow me to read just two portions of scripture, then I'll answer the question, then we can conclude. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and verse 7, scripture says this: therefore, humble yourselves under the almighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. That is what scripture says. God does care. Now, regarding trials, this is what the Bible says. James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. My brothers, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking nothing. That is what scripture says. So, really, in actual sense, God does care. He is not uninterested. He cares. He is very interested in us, and especially when we go through trials. In fact, the Bible seems to tell us that trials are God's means of recreating perfection in human beings. And so, James tells us, count it all joy when you go through various trials, because through these trials, God produces perfection, completion, to the point where the human being lacks nothing good. That is what the Bible tells us. So really, God does care. That is why, because he cares, we can trust him. That is why we need faith as we go through trials, so that our resilience is grounded on faith. Faith in God, a God who cares, who is transforming us to be better through the trials he allows in our lives.
Beautiful stuff. Oh, man, such a fantastic conversation. Pastor Mkanda Wire, I must thank you so much for coming through this afternoon. Always, always a pleasure to speak to you. We're going to be connecting with you once again tomorrow at the same time and same place.
Amen. You have a lovely day.
Lovely.
We'll meet tomorrow.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.